Listen, Pastor Carl has declared that 2019 is the year of the Word of God. And today I'm speaking on 2019, God's Word alive in you. You know, this is the year the Word of God becomes alive and fresh in all of us again. You know, sometimes we go through seasons that the Word of God just burns. We burn for it. We yearn for it. We got to have it. And then sometimes we go through seasons of just there's a lull. Well, I'm telling you, it's about to heat up in 2019 because the Word of God is coming alive afresh and anew. And we need to allow the Word of God to be comfortable in us. I didn't say you need to be comfortable with the Word. I said you and I need to learn how to allow the Word of God to be comfortable in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" 2 Corinthians 4:7, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this treasure." Do you know that's what we're like? We're fragile. We're like clay jars. We're easily cracked. In Colossians 3:16, it says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, I don't speak Greek. I do not. So I don't even think I'm going to try to pronounce it. But that word dwell means this. Dwell in a house. It literally signifies someone who takes up permanent residence in your home. The person is so at home and content in this new location that he has chosen to make it his permanent dwelling place for the rest of his life. How many has ever had somebody come stay with you? Yeah, I know. Me too. How many ever just wanted them to stay forever? Yeah, me too. You know, but that's what the Word of the Lord wants to do. It wants to come into our lives and permanently live there forever. It needs to be comfortable in your home. Right here. So, let me tell you a little story. 25 years ago, I took my first plane ride. I went to Albany, New York. It was horrible. Somebody looked at my hair this morning. You know, usually my hair is all disheveled and sticking out everywhere. Well, I didn't have time to just do that this morning. I was in such a hurry to get out of the house, I grabbed my head, stuck it up under the faucet and put some product on it and swept it back and took off. That's how it felt on that plane. It felt like that. That plane was in a hurry to get to where it was going. And all I could do was hold on. It was horrible. It was our first mission trip. We were going to stay with a couple that we barely knew in Albany. And then we were going to go to New Jersey and to stay with their family who we did not know at all. Now, for me, that is extremely hard because as a little boy, I never spent the night anywhere. And I am very uncomfortable staying in someone else's house. I am. So we get on that plane. Honestly, and that, don't ever ride in the back of the airplane. I learned that from 25 years ago. Stay up front. It's got to be better up front than it is in the back. It's just noisy and the whole time, you know? So I was out of my comfort zone from the first step I took. down that little hallway to get on the plane. The plane never leveled out. It just felt like it kept climbing. My position was not like this. It was like this the whole trip. If they wanted to hand out Cokes, all they had to do was just let go of the cart, and it would have rolled all the way back. Just get it as it come by, right? I was so wound up. By the time I got off the plane, I was yelling for the person that was supposed to be there to pick me up, and I seen him on the other side of the airport. Lori said, "Would you shut up? People think you're crazy." I was so glad to be back on the ground. And so we go and we stay with my friends that we love dearly. Had a blast with them. They were so courteous and kind and hospitable. And, you know, we're still friends to this day, and it's been a long time ago. A long time ago. And then we drove to New Jersey. Now listen, I'm from the South. Life in New York and New Jersey is not the same. It is not the same. And here I was in that atmosphere. Staying with a man whose last name was Sandino. That sounds like the mob. And I find out from his son that this man doesn't like Christians, especially anyone who thinks they are a preacher or a minister of the gospel. Very unsettling to think I'm staying with somebody who may be in the mob that actually don't like me. I mean, I ain't even gonna tell the stories I heard about it. But I'm gonna tell you what that man did for me. His wife had been wanting a bed, a new bed, for years and years and years. He found out that we were coming to invade his home at Thanksgiving. He went out and he bought his wife a brand new bedroom suit. Nice. And then he said, "You can't sleep in it until the Osbournes come and sleep in that bed." Sounds like he likes me pretty good. Sounds like if he's in the mob, I'm going to be on his side. He found out that Lori liked fresh cherries. I don't even know how he found this out. And every morning, we would get up and go downstairs, and sitting on the counter was this huge bowl of fresh cherries. For somebody who don't like me, this guy is going to a long list of things to do to make me extremely happy. He played with our kids. Listen, and they were little. Amber was like five years old. Grayson was one. Elizabeth was not even a thought. But this guy made us feel at home. He made us feel comfortable. He made us feel like we were family and we were welcome and I could stay as long as I liked. He was perfectly fine with it. I think that guy fell in love with us as we did him. And it did not take long. We developed a strong bond within an extremely short time. I'm talking hours. I went from being a stranger to a guest to family. And do you want to know why I'm family? Because I know this because when we were going into the city, we were going to go across the bridge. Listen, I've done some crazy things in New York. Crazy things. Things that I'd get arrested for down here. But I think it was perfectly legal there. We drove on the sidewalk. I don't even think that's legal. But we did it. We were going to the Macy's Day Parade, right? I never saw it. I stood there amongst the people, though, and act like I was happy. But I never saw it. I never saw it. And my friend, he said, "Steve, don't go to the city." "Why not?" "They'll kill you over there." I said, "What? They'll kill you. They're going to steal your car out your radio, or your radio out your car." It's like, I'm not even driving a car, man. Don't go. But we went, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, but the moral of that story, or the point of that story is, he made me feel like I could dwell there. I was comfortable in his home. So I ask you, how comfortable is the Word of God in your heart? Are you making a place for the Word of God to dwell in your heart? Are you going the extra mile? Are you sacrificing what needs to be sacrificed? That guy sacrificed sleeping in a brand new bed to make me feel at home. He sacrificed. He had to get up really early to go find those cherries wherever he was picking them at, picking them or buying. He had to get up early to go do that. He went the extra mile. Are you going the extra mile to make the Word comfortable in your heart? This is the year to do that. This is the year. We want to have so much of the Word in us that when people look at us, they will say, you know what? The Word of God dwells in him or her. And it is for your benefit to allow the Word of God to settle in your heart. Why? It says this in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active. Now, quickly, we're just going to go through the Word alive. You know, God's Word in your life, it should not be dormant because it's active and it is alive. The Word for alive in the Greek means to breathe, to be among the living. It's not lifeless or dead. To breathe. Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostril, and the man became a living person. You know what the physical attributes of being dead are? You know, they're biological, physical attributes of being dead. The first one is there's no circulation of blood in your body, meaning your heart's not beating. And the second one is you have no breath. You become non-responsive. We are alive. And the Word of God is alive in us, so we should be responsive to what's going on inside of our heart. That word alive also means to enjoy life, and it means worthy of the name. To be alive means you're worthy of the name. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who are we talking about? Jesus. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Matthew 1:12 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. You know, go back to that word, the devil. Diablo is the name. And it's not so much a name as it is a description of who he is. And do you know what he is? He's a thief. I don't like a thief. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I don't think I've ever stole from somebody. I don't like somebody's stealing from me. You know, me and Lori, we've moved twice in the past year. We don't ever plan to move again. Thank you, Jesus. We just don't ever want to move again. That's just too much work. We're still moving stuff. But I have my Yeti cooler sitting on my front porch. You know, my front porch in my yard. Do you know that a stinking thief? Ain't nothing nice about it. You know how much a Yeti cooler cost? Went over there and cut my screen porch. smooth operator, slid my Yeti cooler out, gone. I called a couple of my center friends and asked them, they steal my cooler. I said, y'all stole my cooler? If you did, bring it back. I did. I got some friends who probably do it. And I said, yeah, you saw it out there. You saw my cooler on my porch. You took it. You know, and that's how such a good job of stealing that the way the screen was cut, it folded back. And I didn't even know my screen was cut. Really good, you know. It's how the devil is. He just don't come in your house and take your stuff and then walk right back out the door while you sitting there watching. No. Come here, JoJo. Stand up next to me. Yeah, well, Joe said he's not the thief. No, I'm playing that's my role. I'm playing the thief. Listen, he just wants to get close enough, right? Just get close enough up to you. He just stick his hand down in your pocket and you don't know it. Then put it in his pocket and he just walks on, pats you on the back. Just walk right on. Then whenever you go to get what you need, it's not there. It's not there because he done took it. Because we let him get too close with our thoughts. And then it leads into an action, you know, and then a belief. And whenever we go to get the faith that we need to make something happen, it's gone. Because what he left was doubt and unbelief. I don't like the devil. And then whenever he's done stealing from you, he's out to kill you. He's out to annihilate you, your relationships, your finance. He hates you, your health. He's against you because he's against the righteousness of Jesus. It's not because you're a good person. Lord have mercy. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus that he put on us. And he hates that righteousness. And if I'm covered in it, well, he don't like me either. So he would like to stomp me, annihilate me, disintegrate me and everything that's valuable and personable to me. But if I've got that word in my heart, I'm going to jump way ahead. We about to close because I think I said all I need to say. If I've got the word in my heart, it says that it's like a double-edged sword. It's like a double-edged sword. Now, me and my grandson, Griff, he's got swords. We fight with them because we're pirates. Arr. We fight all over that 20 acres out there. Nerf guns and swords. Playing. But do you know whenever you start studying the Greek about a double-edged sword, double means two, and that word edge in the Greek means mouth. That's crazy. That is a weird word. Double-mouthed? What does that mean? God's word is double-mouthed? Got all this from the Greek scholar Rick Renner. You can check him out. Sparkling gems. Double mouth. This is what that means. I'm going to break it down for you. He speaks the word right here. This word. That's one side of the sword. He makes that deposit into my body, into my heart. It becomes who I am, what's going on inside of me. And then as that faith builds inside of me, I speak that word back out. That's the second side. Double mouth. Do you see? Double mouth. He speaks it. It gets in me. I speak it. And all of a sudden, that sword becomes alive. It's double sworded. It's double sworded. I'm able to move. So whenever I'm being attacked by the enemy, and he's trying to come in and torment me and mess with my mind, I can begin to speak the word of God. And it becomes a sword. And it says it's so sharp that it separates the soul from the spirit and the bone from the marrow. Do you know that you need the marrow to have a healthy bone? But this is so sharp, it means it's getting into the minuscule parts of my life. Now, a problem with that sword is so many times as Christian, we take it out and want to use it on somebody else. Somebody done me wrong. I'm taking out that sword. I'm going to give them a reason. I'm going to start swinging it in a minute. And whenever I get done, ain't nobody going to be standing except me. Hey, I used to be that way. Judgmental. God almighty, there wasn't nobody as good as me. I was the standard. Live on up to it. You know, my kids are laughing because they know it's the truth. But I'm not the standard. This word is the standard. And if I'm not speaking that word when times of trouble come, I'm wasting my breath. There is a purpose for getting this word in us this year. It is our destiny in 2019 to have this word come alive in us. We need to hear our shepherd say, come on. We need to be able to hear God say, come with me, follow me. You know, the Bible says that God's sheep hear his voice and they follow him, right? God's sheep hear his voice and they follow him. With all this cold weather we've been having, I've learned a lesson about how the sheep follow God's voice. Now, I think it's in Jeremiah, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb and before I knit you together, right? So if God knew us, he touched us, he put us together, he put our bones together. He put us together physically and then spiritually. And when we're born and that doctor pops us on our bottom, breath comes into our body. But we're already alive. We're alive. Elizabeth, can I give you a word? I passed this word on from Carl. Carl had a prophetic word for Elizabeth, and it's a perfect time to do it, to share this word. He told me I would know. So I know. You're at the very last of your pregnancy. I know. Woof, woof. For all of us, listen, we have endured 9 months. So it's like, yes, let's get to the hospital today, you know. But as Anderson is being secretly formed inside of your body, the Lord is depositing those godly attributes that are in your life, in your spirit, into Anderson. Those things that you struggle with having to fight with God. And you know that you'll fight with God. You'll fight with anybody. Anderson, he's getting those attributes to where he will hear the Spirit of God and he will immediately turn around and follow. He will know the voice of the Lord. He will know it. So he will know it. He will know God's voice from a very young age. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But God says that his sheep hear his voice and they follow. Well, you know, we live on a farm. We have some cows. Those cows' name, they all got names. We got them from the red light district. One of them's names Penny, Poppy, and Polly. I'm not lying. That's what they told me when they named them. When I left this morning, the sun was not up, but I shined my light out there in the field, and there lays old Penny and Polly, and Poppy's laying right behind Penny. And then that little bitty horse there, that's Rose. She's been touched twice. She's crazy. Do you have that other picture, Beth, that I sent you? Did you get them? That's fine. Anyway, Penny, Polly, and Poppy, they live right behind my house. And we have had them, Grayson got them whenever they were just babies. Just babies. And I watched this. Did you get it just now? I thought so. I watched this as the weather was dropping and the buckets were freezing. And we were trying to get water. There they are. See them? They're smaller there. I think I sent you a couple more. Do you have one of him standing in a trailer? Yeah, it's coming through right now. Our interweb is working. It's all been up there somewhere in the space, just now breaking down, going into it. But I called Grayson this morning. I said, Grayson, bring me your feed bucket. There's that sweet baby. I said, bring me a feed bucket with just a scoop of feed in it. Well, Grayson brought me a feed bucket, and I tell you, it weighs 30 pounds. He filled it up to the top. He said, if I'm going to have to fill it up, I'm not going to do it twice. I might as well go do it and do it now. That way, when I get home, I'll go out there and feed my animals. There they are. They're about waist high there. But now they're head high. They're huge. You know, 1,500 pounds apiece. And I say this about the voice of God. My son will get this, literally this bucket right here. And he will go out to the edge of that pasture, and it doesn't matter where they're at. Stand up, Justin, hold this mic. It doesn't matter where they're at. He can take this bucket. I can't even shake it. It's so heavy. And he'll shake that bucket just like that. He'll shake it. And you think that you can't hear that. But those cows, they'll hear it. And the next thing you know, here they come. Cow's not a smart animal. They just kind of dumb along. And they meet him at the feeding trough. Now, I can do the same thing with my horse. But I don't want to have to go get something to feed them every time I want to talk to my horse. They have learned Grayson so well that they know the sound of his door when it opens. They will come running. They know what he looks like. And I can prove it. We were filling up water troughs, right? I have an automatic water trough. And it was full of water. So Grayson knows that everything's going to freeze up. He grabs the water hose, and he drags it out, and he starts to fill up another bucket of water. Now, I'm standing beside the one that's full already. But they see Grayson watering over here. Do you know which bucket they drank out of till they drank it all gone? Grayson's bucket, not mine. Not mine. That's right, a black bucket. Griffin knows. He knows. He's been out there with me in Grayson. A black bucket. Do you know why it's so important for us as sheep to know God's voice? Number one, we need to be fed. It's not by accident that he brought a whole bucket of food that weighs 30 pounds because, see, that's more than I needed. Did you get it? It's so much more than I needed. I could never eat all that. It's so much more than I needed. But Grayson said, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it right. It's what God says. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it completely. No need to go back and redo it. No need to make extra work. I've already done it. Might as well release it. It's important that those cows know that voice, because if anything ever starts going wrong in that field, something goes wrong, they need to be able to hear Grayson go yeek, yeek, and come running to get out of danger's way. We got to hear the voice of the Lord to be able to get out of danger's way. Even whenever things are so loud, they need to know the voice, Grayson's voice as a farmer, because he needs to inoculate them to keep them healthy. He needs to be with them and work them and make sure that they're healthy. The same thing with us. We need to hear God's word so that we are healthy. We need to hear God's word for provision. Everything that we need is provided for us right here. And this is the year to unleash that power. And I am super excited about it. I don't like to be driven. I do not like it. I don't like for somebody to come up behind me and push me. You know, sometimes it might be necessary, but I don't like it. I would much rather be led. It's a whole lot better experience to be led than to be driven. And God says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. This year, be committed to make this word comfortable in your heart and then demonstrate its life, because as you follow God, others are following you. They will line up in that field and they will walk and they follow the leader to get what they need. Will you stand with me?